This is a HeadGum Podcast.
If I reassured you, never come to yourself in a Starbucks room, but magic's mom. It's the dopest podcast with worldwide snatch appeal. Seize the cheese, it's about to get freaking real. If I were you, with two cord you.
Not quite me, hate you.
If I were you,
the pinch.
Their dope guess was
mine. Alston Williams, Ben Schwartz, dude.
If I were you,
Jake Hurwitz, Amir Blumenfeld. Absolutely excuse you.
That was Mark and Marie.
Very entrancing.
A brother and sister duo.
And they hook up?
They don't actually hook up.
Oh, I was so confused for a second.
Now I'm confused for a second. What? Why did you think that they hooked up?
I guess I just thought I heard you say.
I did. What did you think you heard me say?
A brother and sister duo.
Yeah, I did say that.
Couple or something. It was so hot or weird. I mean,
what
for a second? To
for
me,
what?
I thought for a second that they hooked up, and I was like, "That's so." That made me uncomfortable and not hard.
It's funny because when I read this email, I assumed that this brother and sister were fucking each other. So I responded, "Thanks so much for your song." Weird question for you. Do you guys fuck each other?
Yeah. And they responded what?
They're like, LOL, we don't fuck, but we do hook up.
Really?
So I guess, I don't know.
They don't go all the way.
Yeah.
It's not incest if you don't go all the way.
What a weird bumper sticker.
Your Honor. And then you find out that it is.
It's a weird shirt to have.
That awkward moment when
you realize,
you find out it is incest, even if you don't go all the way.
That awkward moment, Hen. Thank you, Mark and Marie. Mark and Marie from New Jersey. Who say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Go on. The whole country's national anthem has a weird slam poem.
What so proudly we hail by the dawn's
at the twilight's.
Oh shit! What is it?
At the twilight's at the twilight's last gleaming.
Gleaming.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars?
Whose broad stripes and bright starly. Here's something interesting I noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that Mission Impossible Rogue Nation's improbable feat is consistency.
Excuse me?
I think that the fifth movie in a long-running franchise opened this weekend, and it did what most mission movies do. It earned a solid opening, and it stuck the landing.
Are you just reading Deadline.com and
no.
passing it off like
what
it's
are you
an
talking
opinion?
About? I really do think that in box office terms,
you do like you look at me right up until you start to clearly
the first
read an
installment.
Article.
Directed by Brian De Palma, took in an inflation-adjusted $68 million.
Click his name because I'm sure it's a hyperlink wherever you are.
Fuck that noise, dude. I'm trying to have a conversation with you, and
you're
you
not
keep
having
turning
a conversation
it back.
It's very one-sided. You clearly have an opinion and an agenda, and you're just going to read that. Like, because right now, I'm sort of throwing
Do you,
you
think
off,
that the 2011 pick Ghost Protocol, directed by Brad Bird, was harder to gauge?
What is going on with you right now?
Thinking. I'm just talking about whatever.
Conversation. You're steamrolling me.
Thanks to Tom Cruise for writing that song. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by me.
And me.
I'm Amir.
And I'm me.
We had such a busy week. This week was such a busy week for me.
Yeah. Do you remember everything we did?
Yeah, well, mostly we shot our television show. We shot the first episode of it.
Yeah.
The pilot.
And it might be the only episode ever.
Yeah. So when we wrapped, we're like, oh, this was great. I hope we get to do it again. Yeah. Or there's a chance that we'll never do it again.
It felt like going, I guess I never went to summer camp.
But right.
Like, the idea is like, we went through this amazing bonding experience where we like, made something with a bunch of people who worked super hard.
Yeah.
And you really like fall in friendship love with all of them.
Right. Everyone said, yeah.
And then like the last day at camp, you're like, I'm going to miss you so much. I'll see you next summer.
Right.
But we have to say like, I'm going to miss you so much. I hope one day I see you again.
Yeah.
Because that'll mean that we get to keep on making this, or this friendship will have meant nothing.
Yeah. So long and, or maybe goodbye.
Right.
It was a Monday through Friday schedule, roughly 13 hours a day, mm-hmm. little time for anything else.
Right.
Just
emails piling up.
Waking up early.
There were days I didn't even refresh Instagram.
No.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
It really like, it didn't even weigh on me. Like I would come home and I would be like, oh, I didn't even look at this today.
Wow. It was kind of cool. Like doing this thing because we were just like, oh, this is what normal work hours are.
Right, that's true.
Comedians don't operate from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day usually.
It was fulfilling and exhausting.
Yeah.
I don't think that like normal jobs usually feel like that. That was like a dream come true.
Right, it was like a fantasy week. I told somebody that like it was like we won or paid for a experience where it's like you get to write a script and then we get a real crew to make it for you. And at the end of the week, we give you a DVD of your show and it just cost $8,000, but it's worth it because you get to act like a real Hollywood guy for a week.
Yeah, we got to like sit in a director's chair with headphones on.
Right. Did you like more when you were in a scene and acting, or did you like more when there was a scene with other people in it and you get to watch and give notes?
Oh, I think man, it's really hard to choose. They're right. Both great. I did love watching and giving notes.
Yeah, it's more relaxing.
I mean, I like even more when you don't have to give notes because you're just like watching, you're just like super proud of what's happening, and it's like we all wrote these words weeks ago and we had no, I mean there were some lines that because we had the best cast you could possibly imagine, and there were lines that like I didn't even realize were jokes when we were writing them.
Right.
But, like, everybody in the show is so funny that they become funny lines.
They
even,
bring
like,
them
the
to
exposition
life.
Lines are funny. Yeah.
So now what? Now we have to put all this footage together. Not even us. We have an editor and a director and other producers who will help us piece it together. And then eventually we'll show it to True TV and they'll ultimately make a decision.
And that's where we're going to beg you guys to bring back that old, that little hashtag thing that we did.
We really, that
but did. Don't pull the trigger yet.
Easy, easy.
Just, if this is a slingshot, we've loaded the pebble.
Yeah.
And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to slowly, slowly pull back the band. And then we'll tell you when all of that pent up energy is ready, we'll release it and it'll be a shot.
Yeah.
It will be a shot. But so you get ready, load the slingshot.
And I really think it should actually be a slingshot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ideally we'll just slingshot people until they decide to greenlight our
That's
show.
A good idea. We'll threaten them.
Yeah, Bart Simpson style. Bart Simpson style.
Dennis the Menace them.
And then while this was happening, our podcast network launched the same exact day.
Yeah.
We didn't spread the wealth very well.
No.
We were like dealing with the first day of our pilot shooting, which was like a very exciting moment, while also dealing with the first day of HeadGum.com launching.
Right.
So if you guys don't know what HeadGum is, it's this podcast network that we launched for our friends and family. So we're just now part of a giant network.
Giant. We're not a conglomerate yet.
No, yeah. We're just a
mom and pop shop of podcasts.
Don't
just
tell.
10 podcasts. This is not you can dive right in and listen to all 10.
And some of you have. We're getting reviews.
Our fans should actually weigh in on who we help launch podcasts for.
Oh. Next. So like people who don't necessarily have a podcast or people who do have a podcast but not a network?
I guess both. But like for instance, I feel like fans of ours would have and could have suggested like get Dave Rosenberg a podcast,
right,
which we did. Dave, uh-huh. Mike, and Jeff have Twinnovation.
Yeah.
Or maybe they would say, hey, we like your mama's pod. We like your mama, have her launch a podcast, which right. we did. So, like, who else is there? Like, we took Josh Rubens, we got Streeter, we got...
Yeah, who else is out there, either one who doesn't have a podcast that you think would belong in our
podcast
network?
Podcast list or podcast-less or network-less?
Or who do have a podcast but not a network. A home that you think would belong well on HeadGum. You guys probably know the podcast universe more than we do.
We know who you want to listen to. We can make it happen.
We can literally get anybody. That's the exciting part.
Yeah.
So actually, Damon would have a pretty nice podcast. Matt Damon.
Right. Do you think he would ever misschedule his podcast so it didn't come out?
Oh, like he scheduled it and it released it like 8 hours too early and then he had to take it down, but iTunes already caught it.
Yeah.
So like some people are trying to download it, so but the file's not there.
iTunes, but like there's nobody he can contact there. It's sort of just like a feed that you upload.
Yeah, I don't think so. Do you think Damon had a podcast guest lined up and he set up the equipment? But then, like, at the last minute, the guest canceled on him.
Oh, like, Affleck was like, hey, yeah. I actually can't do your podcast today.
Yeah.
So Damon has to, like, unplug all of his mics and stuff. And he, like, already had, like, poured a glass of water for Ben.
Yeah.
So he drinks it himself.
But it's too much. It's too much water, so he has to pee.
He has, like, a watery burp.
We should say thank you to iTunes, actually. iTunes really helped us out last week. They, like, gave us our own... announcement on the front page of the iTunes podcast listing page, and they helped get all those podcasts onto iTunes and onto the same network. So if you guys are on iTunes, you can easily check out HeadGum by searching HeadGum in the upper right hand corner.
For real. And I gotta just recommend Twinnovation episode 2 right now.
Yeah, I listen to it.
I was just in Santa Barbara, for anybody who gives a fuck. I guess Amir doesn't. But
I knew that.
I was driving back and I listened to episode 2. And Dave really brings a gem. A gem of a bad idea.
He always brings a gem. Yeah, this is exciting. The first week was like everybody's first podcast. Now this week is like, all right, now people are starting to get into the swing of things. Episode 2 of most people. And Twinnovation's already released theirs early.
And so did Black Men Can't Jump. They released, there's actually 2 episodes in their first week.
And speaking of iTunes, I should say 2 more things. You can also go to itunes.com/headgum. They made us that URL.
Which really?
We'll send you right to the iTunes page, which is awesome. And if you like a podcast on HeadGum's network, it really, really helps to subscribe to it and to leave a positive review, because the way iTunes algorithms work is that they really weight those heavily. And we had like at one point like 4 podcasts in the top 25 of comedy. And it's all thanks to like reviews and subscriptions and the newnesses of the show. And then that led to people discovering the shows and discovering HeadGum. And it's all just a positive feedback loop. So thanks to iTunes and thanks to you guys for doing all that stuff. Another idea I had is to just play a clip from that High and Mighty episode at the end of this show. Oh. So if you haven't heard us on John Gabris's show, you can just keep listening to the end of this program and we'll put in like a little 2-minute clip of us talking on that show.
Well, that's a good idea.
Just to whet your appetite.
We're good at marketing.
At
least you are.
Well, that was my brother's idea.
He's good at marketing. Yeah. Was that your brother who is the designer or the doctor?
You know, it was the designer brother.
I would imagine it was.
Yeah, it was the one who works in the startup universe that knew how to market that. Not the gynecologist who can save babies' lives.
Right.
Which I guess is also important in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
But this, at this very moment, this is an advice podcast. So I'm going to read some real questions from real people who have emailed us to ifireyoushow@gmail.com seeking our guidance for whatever reason. So do you have a fake name? I want to preserve this lady's anonymity.
Oh, hey, ladies. What? Let's name them people on our HeadGum network.
Okay.
Danielle.
Okay, Danielle writes.
From a couple of questions.
Writes. She doesn't actually write. This is somebody else.
That's not her.
Yeah.
She is a real person and she has a real podcast.
Of course.
This comes from somebody who's not her. I get it.
And that person writes, I'll get right down to it. I'm 20 years old and in my first sexual relationship. I never felt very interested in dating before because I mostly feel that the guys who always hit on me are either sleazy or just annoying. I'm still in college and fell head over heels for my boyfriend, who I've been seeing now for a while. My boyfriend has also never had sex with anyone else either. He's a dime and a nerd. So as it turns out, we're pretty bad at sex. How is that fair? Without getting too graphic and grossing you both out, it's a bit uncomfortable for me being a virgin and all. However, my hymen wouldn't even have a chance to break because my boyfriend is finishing in just seconds. We've had sex a few times now and he's not getting any better. You guys have made jokes about this stuff before and I honestly think it's pretty funny, except I kind of want to have some good sex with him sometime. That would be cool. He's very embarrassed every time he comes, and he doesn't think it's funny. I don't know what to do. I'm worried that this is going to affect his confidence in our relationship. Do you guys have any tips for this? Is there something that I could be doing differently in bed to make his experience last longer and still make him feel manly and such? Any thoughts would be greatly appreciated. Love the show, Danielle.
Whew. A lot of thoughts.
Mm.
A lot of thoughts on this.
Mm.
What strikes you initially?
Sex is hard at first, and in general, and at first, it's like a sport. It's like, oh, I took two tennis lessons, and I'm not very good yet.
Right.
Yeah. It's. I would say sex is almost more complicated than tennis. This guy is seeing maybe touching a vagina for the first time.
Right.
Super excited, super into it, prematurely ejaculating, it seems. And this girl is like, "What? How long is it going to take? What's going to happen?" And I fear it takes more than just two or three times to become good at sex.
Right.
What did you think first?
Well, I think, you know, obviously I agree. Practice makes perfect. Good communication is always important. You know, if your sex life isn't really great, you guys have to just talk about it and see what would make you both feel great. A couple little things to make him feel confident, just like, you know, keep on having more sex, he'll last longer, but try to find a way that he can get you off without using his dick, like fingering you or going down on you, because then he, you know, will feel confident making you come.
What about calling him names like, oh, you like that, you little pussy?
Oh yeah,
you like little, slap his little
you
dick.
Little limp dick loser,
you little pussy.
Yeah,
look at this little wiener in a blanket. You grab his little cock, yeah,
come
in your fist, and you say, "Look at this little wiener
Sally
in a blanket."
Come too quickly.
What?
Sally come too quickly.
What'd you say?
Sally come quickly is like a that's a thing, right?
Sally come quickly.
Is it Sally come quickly?
It might be. I just don't get it.
But like he comes
I've never
too
heard
quickly?
That. Oh, so. Really? So you say, you call him that.
Sally come
too quickly.
Quickly.
Yeah. I was saying, did you hear when I said you squeeze his little wiener dick and you say, what is this little pig in a blanket?
Oh, that's
a little
good.
Wiener in a blanket.
Yeah.
You like make fun of his little dick.
Well, no one said it was little.
Mm.
He actually has a huge dick.
You can make fun of that too.
It's actually, yeah. Your dick's too big.
So is this worth bringing up? Is this worth talking about?
Oh, it's Sally come lately.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so don't say Sally come too quickly. I fear that he won't get that joke.
It'll still sting.
He'll still
it almost
get
it. Doesn't really matter.
You think he feels shame? Embarrassed?
Definitely. Yeah, because like, first of all, when you're in your first sexual relationship, no, it's always important. I just think that like, the longer you spend in sexual relationships and different ones, you sort of learn that there's like a curve. And I mean, I remember when I first stopped using condoms because like a girlfriend was on birth control and I lasted like so much shorter than I usually did. And for you know, a while, it was like hard for me to have like for us to have like a fully satisfying sex session for both
right.
of us. But
were you just a one pump chump?
It wasn't one pump, but it was like.
Were you a three pump chump?
It was more than three pumps, but it was four pumps.
Oh, you were
like you. I would come first, and I was. You know, you're always the gold standard is to come at the same
time.
That's
a great. That's a great get.
And like, that's, and usually I pride myself on being pretty good at it.
Oh, so you just basically time it to them.
Yeah, I mean, well, I personally, I, Mom, if you're listening, share this with Dad.
I know you guys are in Nantucket, so if you guys can actually huddle around the fireplace,
yeah, you could
turn up an old-timey radio.
Listen to this on the way to the beach today, yeah. Mommy and Daddy. I actually get off by other people getting off,
oh.
So when people come, it really makes me come.
It's almost like it's because the physical feeling of the ins and the outs is relatively unchanged.
Right. But like you can, when you feel that energy of like, this person's about to come and like, it gets me, I'm going to come too. And
right.
So, but, and you know, then the problem is like, sometimes when somebody is close, you get really excited and you're like, oh, I'm coming. And they're like, well, I know. Not yet.
And oh my God.
And
not
I found
yet
that happening a little too much.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. If I have sex with anybody listening to this podcast right now, if you really want to make me fucking come, say don't come yet.
That has only happened after that the ejaculation has happened. Like, not yet. I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll try to hold it in a little more.
Not yet. Like, oh, I came. As soon as you started that sentence, I knew what you were going to say.
Do you ever, delay the, like, announcement of it? It's like you already feel it, like it's starting, and you're like, all right, I'm close. And then it's like, all right, now. It's like you bought yourself a few more seconds.
Oh.
Instead of saying like, I'm coming right now,
I'm coming, like, as
right,
you come. like at literally
the end, towards the end.
No, I always pre-announce it because I want to, just in case I hear not yet, I have to like be able to pull, like, I'm coming, and then they say no, don't, or something.
Oh, that's
like,
even better. Yeah,
and then you're like, okay, I can chill in it. But if I like really go to the edge and I'm like, I'm coming, and like don't, and then like, right, of course I do, then my orgasm is ruined because it's euphoria and guilt
all in one amazing cocktail,
which is, yeah, that's my entire life, I think.
Euphoria and guilt, the name of your autobiography.
Truly.
Does it manifest itself in other parts of the relationship, like bad sex?
Yeah,
weird dinners.
Yeah, because you don't, if you feel like he feels limp, he feels like a piece of shit, he can't make his girlfriend happy,
right?
I mean, that's what is going on in his head. I know people are like, you make me happy in a million ways, and sex is one of them. But like, when you're in that situation, you're like, I can't make you come. I can't make you laugh. I can't afford to pay for dinner. Why are you even with me? That's what's in his head.
It seems like the bit of advice here that might be good is like, he should try to get her as close as possible to the orgasm.
And then put his dick in.
Yeah.
But I think you do, he has to practice. And I don't want to say... Well, I'll just say what I'm thinking, and I don't know if it's entirely right, but I would just try to fuck him like 3 or 4 times in a row.
Oh, yeah.
If you, like, it sounds like you could both handle it because the first session is really short.
Yeah, you treat the first one like exhibition basketball. Like, it's a preseason game, a warm-up.
Like, on you just, like, jerk him off till he comes and then be like, all right.
Oh, now that's got, like, the new basis.
You've got... And then you're like, hey, go down on me until you get hard again, and then come back, you know?
That seems like a plan right there.
That's the plan of action. So you tell your boyfriend that Jake Hurwitz told you to jerk him off till he came, and then now he has to go down on you until he gets hard again,
yeah,
and then he can have sex.
I feel like that's the perfect plan because it like gives a timer to how long he goes down on her, which it's just great for her.
Right.
And then he has just, you know... finished, ejaculated, so he couldn't even come again if he wanted to.
It's the Ocean's 11 of not coming too early.
They do
it,
this
a perfect scheme.
Yeah, they're gonna do this, look up and notice that the painting above their wall is just missing.
I propped them.
You've heisted them. You gave them the perfect plan, and it was all part of your elaborate Thomas Crown Affair ruse to steal a poster that says you miss 99% of the shots you don't make. It doesn't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why get that poster? All right, let's take one break, and we'll be right back with more questions after this.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
Bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark
yeah,
Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn.
And
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most
of it yours.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
We're back, and this is our first podcast episode where we're both in our 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're officially a 30-year-old.
What's the fucking point?
You're over the hill
and
under-delivered.
I'm over the hill, under the weather.
Yeah.
Over the moon.
You are
but under arrest.
It's also, do you feel older?
I guess.
What about your declining eyesight?
Oh yeah.
That's a very specific moment tied
that's
to your age.
Right, for sure.
You're gonna have to get glasses.
Yeah.
You loser.
you're
a dorcas.
You're basically blind and I
legally
got LASIK.
Blind. Fuck me.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? Well, how do you handle that?
I really grappled with it. I wrestled with it. I didn't want to get glasses, and then I was driving back from the airport one night and I literally just couldn't see any signs, like nothing. I can't see when I'm driving at night.
You know what you'll do? You'll start like putting your foot like in the water. You're like, oh, I'll only wear it at night. Oh, I'll only wear the glasses when I'm driving.
I won't wear them all the time.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. I guess I probably, now that means I will.
Right.
But
that's how it starts.
Right.
You dabble.
And that's what I have to do. So it started, I was like noticing it going a little bit, like couldn't see at night that well. But then driving back from the airport, I couldn't see anything. And then at one point I like lost the lane of the highway.
Well, that seems like more than just a vision blurriness.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I was tired, but like, and it was sort of a confusing spot, like, you know, the lane is closed, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I should have been able to see where the lines were, and
right.
I could not.
Right.
And it was, so it's like, okay, it's like borderline dangerous, I guess. And then also when we were writing the show, we write on like a television screen with, and it, like one person has a laptop and we're all like,
oh, right. And you couldn't read the script.
Couldn't read the script. So I needed, so then I went to what was that? Lens Crafters.
Oh yeah.
And,
you got an eye exam.
Got an eye exam.
Your prescription.
Yeah. It was negative. I forget. Negative one.
Minus 100, minus 75.
Okay.
It's a whole world you don't have to deal with, and then you just do. Right. No one in your family has glasses, right?
No, I'll be the only kid in my family that has glasses, that needs glasses.
That's crazy. Eight of you, not one with glasses?
My parents have like reading glasses, but...
Right, but they have perfect distance vision.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, what are you going to do?
So I went to... we should sponsor this episode by Warby Parker, because I did use their service. I used the home try-on.
Oh, shit. We should contact them quick. Fuck.
And I have five pairs of glasses. Did I show you them?
Yeah,
I did. And I chose one.
And
I'm going to go to the store tomorrow and get them. And I'm going to have glasses.
You're going to have glasses. What a loser. What next? I'm going to have, I don't know, what's a distinguishing characteristic of you?
Perfect shoulders.
You think that's what people say behind your back?
Everyone's always talking shit about how broad my shoulders are.
Did you have any quarter life crisis with a 30?
No, I really like, I kind of lost my shit when I was 25.
Oh, right.
And then I developed a much more zen outlook about aging.
I guess it helps to have an exciting moment in your life happen at age 30.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like, I think it felt really good to be like, 30 years old, shooting the pilot. It was my birthday on set.
Yeah.
Which is like really, really fun.
So surrounded by a whole new crop of friends.
Yeah. I guess maybe like turning point birthdays, like a 30-year-old one. Like I might have found myself a little bummed if nothing was happening, if we were like still waiting to hear about the pilot, or if we were like, you know, just, I don't know, who knows, whatever we were doing. If I was bored, it would have been a little sad.
Right.
But I feel like this week we made like 50 new friends.
True.
Everybody sang me happy birthday, so I could not have been bummed about it.
You were kind of upset that the cake wasn't to your liking.
Oh yeah,
I like, did. We got
I
the
had
cake.
Two cakes.
Yeah.
One which was vanilla,
I thought
frosting,
was super.
Which was, yeah. No, it was nice.
I thought it was really nice.
It was a good. Well, I don't even want to say it was a nice gesture, because
of course,
if it was a nice gesture, they would have gotten the right cake. Do you know what I mean?
They got you two cakes and yeah. One. But one of them had a photo of us on it, which I thought was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then your mom sent
it was
you
just
a cake.
Bullshit. Yeah. It was a bullshit birthday. My mom
no,
sent me
it was
a cake.
Not a bullshit.
I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying.
How is it? And then your mom went out of the way to design a cake that looked like a box of Annie's macaroni and cheese, because she knew
and
that
she,
was your
yeah,
favorite
food. And
she
found out where the production office was. And
yeah.
She
and
sent
she sent it to us. Yeah.
And yeah, it was a cake that fed the entire crew for actually 2 days.
Right.
3 days. They had it.
So why do you think that's a bullshit gesture?
It's a bullshit birthday. It wasn't. It was just like people saying, how many times did they sing to me?
They sang twice to you. They yeah. sang happy birthday twice to you.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's my, I don't understand, maybe they turn 30 a lot, but I actually only got to do it once.
And what the fuck are you talking about? You thought like two wasn't enough?
So I got, well,
you got
how many people
cakes.
Work on that set? And I got two cakes, zero presents. Well, a couple of people got me gifts, but not like, not
so
like
you,
nice.
So what's the
not
difference
like
between a gift and a present?
I got, actually, True TV sent me a care package for my birthday that had
that's so nice
in it. And yeah.
Oh my gosh, they went above and beyond, I would say,
but it didn't even like
that's so
there
thoughtful
wasn't, but I'm saying I could have had money.
I know what, I would no I know what you're saying,
like
you
if say everyone
but,
set,
you're saying but it's not but I'm
I would
saying.
Have I honestly didn't even need anybody to sing me happy birthday or give me a cake. If they had given me the money that they bought the cake with, if my mom had sent me money,
oh, I can't
and
believe
if everyone
this.
On set had given me money.
I'm going to put this in the episode. People are going to hear you
edit
complain
it out,
about
bitch.
This.
Edit this part out, bitch.
So you are ashamed.
course I'm fucking embarrassed. I'm being a petulant little brat.
I'm afraid this will come off as me being petty, the complaining about two cakes shit.
I Venmo requested my father for $2,000.
And?
He accepted.
So?
And I hit him back with another 2K fee. This is the acceptance fee, daddy.
The right punch, left punch. The 1-2 hook. Anything else? Good birthday, good week, crazy adventures.
Yeah.
Two cakes, three gifts, and not enough cash.
And then a party this weekend.
Yeah, we had, and then we had a party for you.
We had a pilot rap party, HeadGum launch party,
mm-hmm.
Birthday party, and a housewarming party.
Yeah. Was that good for you too?
I deserved more. I guess we had over 100 of our friends here with a hot dog,
yeah.
A hot dog cart and, uh-huh. And a bar.
Yeah.
But, oh, we played beer pong against Rick Fox.
Yeah, we lost.
That was the highlight of my fucking life, I think.
He beat us.
Yeah. I had a real rough game of it.
You had a tough go of it.
I really did not.
You know why?
Because I was nervous.
Because you didn't have your glasses.
Interesting theory.
Would you ever get LASIK?
I'll definitely get LASIK.
You know, with LASIK, they numb your eyes and they slice it open while you're still fully awake.
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
I actually heard that it hurts.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That seems not right. I basically just used eye drops for the first time this week on set because my eyes were a little bit dry. And somebody had eye drops and I didn't even put them in my own eyes. And I was just like, somebody else put drops in my eyes. And I was like, so terrified as like the drop was entering my eye. I'm like, there's no way I can ever have LASIK where you have to keep your eyes open while a laser slices them.
They like peel your eye. They Clockwork Orange you for it.
Yeah. They force your eyelids open, moisten it with drops, and then slice open the fucking
moisten
cornea.
It with drops sounds like the part that you're the most afraid of.
Can you imagine these drops that moisten and numb the eye? They slice open the top layer, flap it open like the bottoms of an old-timey pajama pants suit. Then they use a laser to fucking reshape the back of your
How
eye.
How often does somebody go blind from it?
Not that. Like 1 in 5, 1 in 10.
Like, does it? It must happen, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is a risk when you slice open your eye and shoot lasers in it.
Like, that seems pretty crazy.
But I guess it's worth it not to wear glasses. But even if I had perfect vision, I would need to wear glasses.
Right, well, at this point.
Yeah, glasses are like my shield,
But see, I don't like shit. I don't like stuff. I don't like having extra things.
Right. You don't like having to deal with
the
glasses.
The idea of having a pair of glasses and a glasses case and a little like tissue that I use to clean the glasses is like already stressing me out a little bit.
Right. And then contacts even worse.
That's why like yeah, you would everybody's like, "Oh, you'll get contacts, right?" Cuz like I don't want to look I don't want to wear glasses.
Right.
But like contacts are so much worse for the kind of person I am.
It means you have to have more stuff.
More like fucking saline solution. Yeah. Little.
The circle, the little binocular circles that say LNR.
And then like every single day you're like waking up with a ritual that you have to do.
Sticking it in your eye. And then sometimes it like it rolls up into your head or rolls down and it gets caught. The lens just gets caught.
I won't do that.
You think Damon ever has trouble with his contacts? Like it falls down
Damon
into his eyelids?
Damon doesn't have perfect vision?
You piece of shit. I think Damon wears glasses. I really do.
Maybe reading glasses.
All right, let's get to another question. We need a Canadian male name. Or just a male name and just know that he's from Canada.
Okay. Let's do Kevin Porter.
Of the Gilmore Guys. Mm-hmm. Kevin Porter. Not really Kevin Porter, but hey, let's just call this person Kevin Porter. Writes, "Hey guys, writing from Canada and I really love the show. Can't wait to see you guys in Toronto." We are going to Toronto in October. Check it out. "I'll keep it short. There's this girl I've been talking to recently, and we're getting close to hooking up. The only problem is she's a girl in my group of friends, and I don't want anyone to find out we hooked up. Is there any chance that me and this girl can hook up without any of my or her friends knowing? The reason I can't just ask her to keep it quiet is because she thinks we're going to start dating soon, but I just want to fuck her a few times." But if I ask her to be friends with benefits, I'll never get with her. So what should I do? Help. Thanks. Love, Kevin Porter.
Ooh. I guess I hope this guy doesn't get laid.
The reason I don't ask her is this is because I'm trying to deceive and or trick her into sleeping with me. And I don't want any of my friends to find out.
Do you think there's any way they will, considering that she wants to date me?
Yeah. Do you think once I ruin this girl for a little bit of time, she'll do me the solid of not telling any of my or her friends that I've deceived her?
Yeah. Let's start with the first rule is that everyone always tells someone.
Mm. There are no abject secrets.
No.
That's a good quote. I would say 90% of the time that's true. You know what people do? They don't tell everybody. They tell one person, and you say, right, you can't tell anyone. And then he goes, okay, I won't tell anyone. Yeah. And then when that person tells someone, he says, I'll tell you, but you can't tell anybody.
I'll say even, all right, so say you and I hook up.
Yeah.
Or let's not do, like, because then that would be like, we would almost need to, professional reasons, not tell anybody.
Mm.
Say I hooked up with a girl.
Okay, I love that.
And yeah, and like, she's a fucking dime, a smoke show goddess.
Okay, is this an anonymous girl, or like, what's the level of girl you're thinking?
Tiffany Amberthiessen.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You hooked up with Kelly Kapowski?
And I say, I don't want to make a big deal. I don't want to tell anybody. She uh-huh. doesn't want to tell anybody.
Uh-huh.
And say, I stay true. And I'm like, I really didn't tell anybody. Tiffany's going to spill the beans to her best friend.
You think Tiffany's going to tell someone?
To Lark Voorhees, she's going to say something.
Lark, you know, you think she's still hanging out with Lisa Turtle?
Yeah, I think they do. No, but like, so in, when two people are hooking up and it's supposed to be a secret, I think I would say 90% of the time they both tell at least one person.
And that one
and
person?
100% of the time, at least one of the two people tells somebody.
Right. So all
I
you can do is
ever an affair that stays between two people, and that's it.
Yeah.
Someone always tells someone.
It seems like if information is moving at a normal speed, let's say 60 miles per hour, the most you can do is like slow it down almost to a halt. Right.
And maybe there's one person in your group of friends that nobody will ever tell.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, folks will know.
Yeah.
This will not be a secret.
The guy that you don't tell anybody to, his nickname is like Raisin. So you're like, yeah, I'm not going to tell Raisin.
Raisin can't.
Yeah, like, don't tell Raisin. Don't tell Raisin. Jake, I wouldn't tell Raisin.
Raisin doesn't know anything because Raisin is a Raisin.
Yeah, he is a Raisin.
You just hang out with a Raisin.
He's a box of Raisins. So he's like this little red carton of
you
sun-made
Raisins.
You guys are
all the California Raisins.
Yeah.
What a weird group of friends.
That's a good question. Is there anyone that you've hooked up with ever that you never told anybody?
That I never told anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is, it has happened before.
Right, but who knows? Like, that's why I'm saying I think that in these situations, that person has told someone.
Oh, so you're saying, okay, so odds are at least one person's going to tell.
Yeah, it's never like a perfect...
And that's just random girls. If you're talking about a juicy inter-friend group hookup, that's exciting, juicy
and friends
gossip.
Friends know shit, too. Friends know shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that's what they do. They're like, can't tell anybody, but here's the information.
Right.
Because you can't sleep on that.
But like, and your friend, say maybe you're not going to tell them on your own accord, but as soon as somebody notices something, a look, that's all. And they're like, what's happening with you and Kevin? What's happening with you and Kevin? What's going on?
Right.
And then the beans, they get spilled.
Yeah.
The beans always get spilled.
You can try a secret for a little bit, but eventually, as Jake said, the beans will get spilled. Now, moving on to the second part of your question, which is, it seems like you're really trying to trick this woman.
Right.
It seems like you are leading her on to think that you're going to start dating soon, but you just want to fuck her a few times.
Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Sure. Stop that. Bad boy.
But if I ask her to be friends with benefits, I'll never get with her. How does he know?
That's the advice right there.
So maybe she does.
That's the...
Yeah. Is it more of a guy thing to want the friends with benefits? Is that like a guy thing? Like, oh, in a perfect world, a dude will want to hook up with a girl without having to do like get emotionally involved with all that stuff?
Maybe so. I guess I feel like it kind of goes both ways, though.
So like sometimes girls want it too.
Friends with benefits is always a little sad because it's usually like both people can't get laid or something.
Oh.
So you're like, oh yeah, I'll settle for you for a bit if you'll settle for me for a bit.
Oh, so it's like isn't it like if we rub backs against each other, we're scratching each other's backs?
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a good thing.
But like, I just don't like the idea of friends with benefits because it's like, all right, we're just going to jerk off for each other, basically. Why don't you just admit, like, hey, why don't we just casually be together?
In a real relationship. Like, but, yeah, do you only want to get me off? You don't want to have, like, brunch with me?
Yeah, what is that? What is friends with benefits?
It means you have sex, but you don't eat sandwiches together.
That's like,
yeah, it means
it's more benefits to be like, oh, here's a person that is cool, yeah, like sandwiches, yeah, and I get to fuck them.
Yeah.
The most benefits.
Here's a benefit that I want, emotional fulfillment. Here's a benefit, being able to have a nice conversation with someone.
All of a sudden, holy matrimony is the best kind of friends with benefits situation.
That's a pretty nice benefit.
Yeah, here's a major benefit. I have a family of four.
that's a really nice benefit.
I am a benefactor.
Yeah. Actually, let's get married and then we'll have real benefits, tax benefits, mm-hmm, little breaks and incentives.
Yep.
That's a really nice benefit, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I do want to be friends. This is my wedding vows. So I do want to be friends with benefits with you, Jennifer.
You also don't believe gays should get married.
I do not believe gays should get married. That's correct. Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
This is our right-wing advice podcast.
The first question
to this guy is the friend in this group. It is you're a dude and she's a girl. Then we can. Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
This is a very slow con episode 167.
And you guys have been listening to Bigots the whole time.
We are literally a third of the way to our 500th episode when we drop the mean bomb on you. We think gays don't get to be in love with each other anymore. All right. Treat this woman nicer, I would say.
Yeah, I think you say, but this is where the language has to change.
Oh, shall friends we speak in Hebrew?
Yes. You ought to not say, like, let's be friends with benefits. Just be like, hey, I like you. I'm attracted to you, but I like you as a friend, and I don't want things to get too weird. So let's just be casual about this. You know, no
pressure.
What
does casual mean?
No expectations. So she's not going into it casually if she's like, I want to long-term date you in the future, and that's why I'm going to be intimate with you, because I see this really growing and building into something. And he's saying, this is never going to be anything, but I feel like fucking you. So they're not on the same wavelength.
So the way to say that is, I want to be casual, and that means I don't want to be in a relationship with you in the future. You think that's understood by casual?
I mean, you could be even more explicit and just say, I want to go into it with no expectations. Like, right now, I don't think about dating you. I think about being attracted to you this second and wanting to sleep with you.
But do you have to say that explicitly? Isn't that the beginning of every relationship?
Yeah. Not normally, but it sounds like he's concerned with where her mind is at, so he should maybe check in before he...
Just to be super abundantly clear, I'm not necessarily thinking or not thinking about being or not being with you.
Of course, you don't want to have this weird conversation where he sits, you don't want to sit somebody down and tell them this, but yeah, like maybe when you're getting about to hook up, just be like, hey, I just want you to know that, like, I think you're great, but I don't see this going very far.
That's a hard conversation to have before you sleep with somebody.
Yeah.
So good luck, loser. Then again, you're trying to lie to somebody, so you don't deserve something that's easy to do anyway.
Yeah. I mean, well, there are always like ways to there's subtleties in language that you can exploit.
Ideally, you want to be as open and honest as possible, so that if she does get disappointed later on, you can be like, hey, at least I was trying to like let you know ahead of time.
Right. But I will, like, you don't want your honesty to all just be like a get out of jail free card later. Like, she's like, hey, you led me on. You're like, no, because I said casual. And
right.
I think if your attitude should just be more about preserving your friendship and not clearing your name.
That being said, if you're hooking up with a friend, in a friend group, the friends are going to find out.
Of course. This is just generally a bad idea.
There's nothing greater in high school than when two friends hook up. That's like the exciting moment of a drama or a 90210. Right.
And it's way more exciting to find out that they have been hooking up for a while.
Yeah, like did you hear? Oh, I have a fucking crazy story. Oh my God, what is it? No, I promised I wouldn't say, but I got to tell you. Yeah. Oh my God. Jake hooked up with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. What an amazing story. I can't wait to tell someone that one day. Would you hook up with Tiffany? If you saw Tiffany Thiessen at a party?
Would I hook up with her?
Yeah.
Is she drunk?
She's a little tipsy, but she's not completely wasted.
That's perfect. She's classic Tiffany. Yeah. Being like a little loose, a little fun, a little bubbly.
And she introduces herself to you because it's like she knows you know who that she is, but like at the same time
she says, I'm
like,
Tiffany?
Yeah, no, she'll be like, hi, I'm Tiff.
Oh, Tiff.
Yeah. She calls herself Tiff.
Do you know I had my first sex dream about Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
Really? Last night. All right. If you have your own questions, your own theme songs, your own anything, Facebook art, send it all to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Again, this is a HeadGum podcast now. Check out other podcasts on our network. First episodes are up. Second episodes are coming out over the course of the week. Oh, I wanted to... We never... the release schedule of all these podcasts. Quick, do like a song and dance
stall,
while I look
stall,
it up.
Stall,
stretch
we
it
can't
out.
Edit this cast.
No.
This is I'm say hello to me, honey.
All right, I found it. Mondays is our show and Gilmore Guys. Tuesdays, Josh's Mind House, couple of questions. Wednesdays, Julia Noons, another episode of Gilmore Guys. This is why you're single. Thursday is High and Mighty, Gabrus's podcast, Talk of Shame, Streeter's podcast. Friday is Twinnovations and Black Men Can't Jump. That's a pretty loaded slate. At least two podcasts on every day.
Amazing.
Something for everybody on every day. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm gonna put a fun little clip from that first episode of High and Mighty at the end of this episode. So keep listening to get a taste of that, and you can always find everything on iTunes and on headgum.com. That's it. The end. Goodbye. See you next week. Peace.
Ciao.
I forgot.
What?
The closing theme song. Holy shit. I'm rusty.
You almost... Oh.
The opening theme song was by Mark and his sister, Marie. And this closing one is from the Chill Sun Twins. At Chill Sun Twins on Twitter. That's Ethan on vocals and Shu on the beats. So thank you to the Chilson Twins for this closing theme song. Now we're out.
Witness this litmus test. Is it acidic or basic? Can you trace it back to Bassett, Trace, and Face, and Blunts, Erasing, Fronts, Awake, and Baker? Are we just tasting fame and chasing Jake and Jason? Have your cake and eat it too if I were you. Did you put cash on Floyd Mayweather? Or is he asked to Sequoia Fairweather? Fans stay cool in the van. Double entendre. Mind your manners. Fly your banners. Danny Tanner. That's a full house. It's a decent poker hand. I woke up mad. I'm broke up sad. I poked her back. I fumbled that. I'm running faster. I'm the master. We're all the master. S.
All right. Thank you to Blue Apron for sponsoring that episode yet again. You can go to blueapron.com/ifiwereyou for your first two meals for free, and you can see what's on their menu. Thanks to Blue Apron. Thank you, Blue Apron. And let's listen to that High and Mighty clip with us on John Gabrus's first podcast episode. You can listen to the whole episode and many other podcasts at headgum.com. Enjoy. You might weigh more than both of us combined.
I probably weigh close to both of you guys combined, right? What do you weigh, like 160 each?
I weigh 167.
And you weigh like 121? Without glasses, you're 118.
Soaking dry. Without glasses.
Without glasses.
I have
with
3-pound glasses. I think I'm 155.
So you weigh... We weigh pretty close.
315 together.
Yeah, I weigh like 305. But I'm not in my best shape I've ever been in.
You're not in fighting weight.
I'm not fighting weight. Fighting weight's like 291. Oh, fighting weight? My goal weight is still way higher than most people's like physical. Like,
well, yeah, if you could,
I'd like to weigh like 270.
That's your goal.
That's like what I want to. I want to get down. That's my beach body. My beach body is still like 70 to 80 pounds over the national average.
We just did a live podcast in Australia. 1,100 people there.
What?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Isn't that
weird? That's so fucking awesome.
It was
crazy. With Streeter opening up for you guys?
Yeah. I stage dove during a podcast.
Oh, that's so cool, dude. Meanwhile, I can just picture like it's like sort of rock and roll esque, but Amir is like with dials. Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of feedback.
Yeah, I landed.
People like, yeah! Surfing through the crowd. Is everyone's phone on airplane mode?
Stop yelling. I don't want it to peak.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.